Thank you. I'll just repeat what the call is. Welcome to the Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group meeting on Thursday, the 16th of January, 2014. Now, I'll just read out the list of people who are in Adobe Connect, and that's Amer El-Sadr, Chris Dillon, that's me, Jennifer Chung, Jim Galvin, Maya Suchaipin Siriwat, Peter Dernbach, Peter Green, Petter Rindfors, it's Pinpan Yaporn, sorry for my bad pronunciation, and Pittinam Kuamorn-Patana, Rudy Van Snick, and Wanawit Akuputra. Now, I don't know whether there's anybody actually on the call, on the telephone who isn't actually in Adobe Connect, but if there is, could you introduce yourself now? I think Steve Sheng is on the phone.
Yeah.
According to.
Hello. Hello, I am Patrick Linehan.
Thank you. Okay. You can see the agenda in Adobe Connect. I need to first ask the group whether there have been updates to the statements of interest. Okay. Hearing none, that means we can move on and look at the draft work plan, which is being. Wait a moment. Sorry, before I do that, Peter Dernbach has actually updated his, but he's uploaded that. Okay. Don't know whether that's the only one. All right. Well, it sounds as if there's at least one update, that they are in the wiki. Okay, so let us move on into the draft work plan, which is being displayed in Adobe Connect. And this is an ambitious work plan. So I think, you know, it really covers, I think it's about a year altogether. But I wonder whether anybody has any comments about the any general comments about the work plan before we go through it. Hello, Lars, would you like to say something?
Chris, good morning, all. This is Lars. Yeah, just to say, I've drafted this together with Julie, and I appreciate that it's ambitious time-wise as well. But it's obviously something that is not set in stone, right? I mean, so I'm just working on a different group, and we've covered more problems along the way if you wanted to, and then we changed it accordingly. So it's not something that, you know, you would sign up for a delivery motion on the 1st of December this year. It's just that that might work, but if we realize in April or in June that we need to prolong and need more time to discuss certain issues, then we can change the work plan in general.
Indeed. Okay, thank you for that. Shall we perhaps go to the top of it? Somebody in the Adobe Connect chat saying they want, we're actually, wait a minute, no, I don't have control of it. Would it be possible to go up?
You should be able to scroll yourself on the right.
Oh, right, yes, sorry. Now, what's wrong with, no, I, for some reason.
No, we can't. No, Lars, we cannot. Now we can, yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you can? I'm seeing that. I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were seeing it. Does it work?
Yes, it's indeed working. Okay, I'll just ask for, Rudy, would you like to say something general about it, perhaps?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy Van Snick speaking. I think it's important that we take the time to go through the list of this draft plan. My concern is that we should be able to finalize the work plan next week. But again, as we already discovered, that there are many other activities and working groups going on around the same kernel of what we have to do. I think we have to try to find out the way to also close the list of important working groups and others that are going on before we really start going deeper into the discussions, to avoid that we have to restart discussions. So I would like to have some reflections from other participants in this working group.
Thank you for that, Rudy. Amo, would you like to address that?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rudy. This is Amo. Yeah, I think Rudy is absolutely right that it's really important that we sort of just be very aware of what output is coming from other groups that are working on this as well. But I would not recommend that we delay too much in our own discussions. I don't think I have no indication of how long it will take for other groups to conclude their work or come out even with initial recommendations, including the expert working group, which I believe is just starting its work, same as us. We should keep an eye out, and perhaps, if appropriate, when recommendations do start coming out of different groups, perhaps amendments to this work plan can be made at that time. But I certainly don't think we should delay any discussions we're having over here. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. Now that you've raised the expert working group, I think I would like to draw the group's attention. I mean, it's already been done in one of the previous emails, but the expert working group has produced an update report. It's about 84 pages, but that is that is worth reading, because it does do some work on defining data elements and also on legal issues. I'll just remind.
I'm sorry, Chris. This is Amar again. I should have been more specific, but I was referring to the expert working group on internationalized registration data, not.
Sorry. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I should have been more specific on that. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. I think we certainly need to address the question of who is involved in this area and who we need to wait for, and use the wiki to flag up perhaps certain parts of the project that we are waiting for. Jim, would you like to raise a point on this subject?
So Jim Galvin speaking. As chair of the other working group that was just mentioned, the Internationalized Registration Data Requirements Working Group, I'll just comment that we've taken the approach of moving forward but paying close attention to other groups, this one in particular. I do think that there is a close relationship between this group and the IRD working group. And it will be important for us to pay attention to each other and be aware of what's going on. But I also don't think that we should wait for each other, per se. I don't think that that's necessary, at least not at this time. It might be at some point in the future as we begin to deal with issues. But, let's not delay our work any more than we may need to. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Jim. I think that's also my instinct. But perhaps we could leave it that everybody has another week to look at the work plan in that light. Jim, is there something else you would like to say, or is it just something in Adobe? Okay, thank you. Right, okay, well, let's just have a look at some specific aspects of the work plan, and it's really just defining a few terms in there, and it's things like, for example, the input template and the input review tool. I think there's maybe one or two other just a moment. One or two other terms that we may need to have a look at. But oh yes, okay. Let's Lars, I wonder if you could do a brief description of the input template.
Thank you, Chris. I can actually, if you wanted to, I did a quick draft based on something we've done before, and if you wanted to, I can post it in the Adobe Room. Basically, what we do is we draft a quick letter saying there's a PDP going on this issue. Here's a link to the wiki. Here's a link to the charter.
Yes.
We welcome your input by this date.
Yes.
And here's a list of the questions that we're dealing with and that you might want to provide answers to, and also encourage them to add anything that, any thoughts that they might have to these questions, because the group might find that useful as well. I can do a quick copy and paste if you wanted to into the address.
Yes, I mean I mean originally I was intending to come back to that a bit later in the agenda, but actually if it's handy, that may be a good thing to do now. Oh yes, and Rudy's also agreeing with that. Thank you.
So it would look something like this.
Yeah.
Because I copy and paste into a note, you can't see the hyperlink. So things like charter, background information, issue reports, the working group wiki, they would be all hyperlinks,
yes.
So that they can access this very easily.
Okay. I mean, looking at that quickly, it looks really suitable. But if you could just send that round to the group after the meeting, then we can have a slow look at it. And on the same subject or a similar subject, there is also mention of outreach. And my instinct on this was to use some kind of version of what is 0.6 in the wiki, but admittedly 0.6 in the wiki is rather long, so I think you were suggesting something a lot shorter, and I don't know whether you've got any text on for outreach, but I wonder if something which just mentioned the basic questions and was a sort of typical outreach email could be circulated after the meeting. Okay.
Yes, this is Lars, Chris. No problem. I will take care of that. Although it might have to happen tomorrow, because right after this call, I will take a flight back to Brussels. I'm in LA at the moment.
Any time before next Thursday. Actually, talking about next Thursday, unfortunately, I cannot attend that meeting. I'm giving a talk at a conference, so I'll just mention that to the group now. And then if we come back to the work plan, I'm just checking through it to see whether there's anything which is worth picking up in the next few weeks. If anybody would like to ask questions about any aspect of it, then please do so. Okay, well, perhaps let us leave this so that we have another week to have a look at it. And Rudy is asking a question. Please speak.
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, I'm looking into the plan, and I'm looking especially to the meeting with the physical meeting of ICANN in Singapore, 26th of March. I think we will have more than one day. We are going to be circling around in the meetings over there in order to do some outreach. I think we need to plan that very carefully, because it's most often there are a lot of meetings going on, and we have to be able to be in the other meetings at a decent time so that we get the required attention. Perhaps next call, next week, during the call, we try with staff with Lars, to figure out what days we are going to be doing the outreach work in Singapore.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, that is absolutely necessary, because, you know, we certainly are going to need to publicize what we're doing to as many relevant groups as possible. So, yes, it would be really good to identify those times during next week's meeting. Thank you for that. Amr, would you like to say something?
Thanks, Chris. This is Amr. I have a question to you and the group about the scheduling of the prep work involved and sending out the stakeholder group, constituency, and SOAC outreach message. I guess typically it's a good idea to send this out as early as possible during the course of the working group to get the feedback from the different stakeholder groups, constituencies, SOs, and ACs as early as possible.
Yeah.
And typically it's also common practice to include the charter questions and trying to get feedback on that. But I was wondering if the group here would like to perhaps add a few more questions following some discussions, because I see there have already been some discussions on the working group list. And we might actually come up with a few additional questions we might want to get input on from the different stakeholders in the community. And if we do decide to maybe perhaps do this, is the timeline realistic in terms of finalizing this template by the next meeting and sending it out the next day? Thanks.
Thank you for that. There are several things that need to be balanced here. So on the one hand, you want to let people know really what you're doing in detail. So that sort of indicates a long email, which is quite difficult to write. But on the other hand, if one sends a long email, the success rate drops. So actually, that really... I think the weight then comes down on the other side, that actually there is a huge advantage to sending quite a simple email, perhaps only with the main questions, but then with links to further information. So that's really what I was suggesting. Lars, would you like to say something about that? Oh, sorry, I think it was just a hand up by accident in Adobe Connect. Perhaps this is something we can talk about on the mailing list, but I think if we aim to draft something this week and finalize it fairly soon, then if we don't quite make it, then at least it won't drift off too much into the future. We'll try and do it next week, but if we can't, then I don't know, perhaps the week after. Lars, would you like to say something? And I think
thank you, Chris. Yeah, I just did a little monologue into the mute button, so that was fun for me. It's all right. It happens, I suppose. I just want to add that on the point that Arma raised. I understand that this sounds very very quick to have this sent out or agreed by next week, and there's no problem.
Thank you very much for that. I mean, my own original suggestion was, in fact, that we sent something pretty close to what is point six in the wiki on background, but it is rather a difficult balancing act, so perhaps let's have a go at doing it next week and then just see where we get with that. Okay, any other comments people would like to make about the work plan, either specific parts of it or generally? Okay, seeing nothing in Adobe Connect, I think that means we can safely move on down the agenda. And specifically, that means continuing our discussion of the questions we were speaking about last week. And so there is, in the wiki, there is quite a long section on what is contact information and what taxonomies are available. So I went through that myself, and I was actually struggling to find any contradictions in there. The definitions, as far as I could see, seemed to be pretty compatible with each other. I mean, I don't know whether anybody, because of course, at some point, ideally, we would want to, perhaps have something that's rather shorter than what's in that document. The document I was referring to before, the status update from the expert working group on GTLD directory services, gives quite a lot of detail on the data elements. I don't know whether anybody would like to make any comments about perhaps it would be helpful, would it be possible just to display the what is contact information part of the wiki? Well, actually, I'm not sure whether we can do that in here.
Well, Chris, I think Lars can do that by putting on in the whiteboard the questions we discussed last. So it will probably come up soon.
Okay, we might just wait a moment for that.
This is Lars. I'm so sorry. I'm having some troubles with the line. You want me, because I'm in a hotel room, you want me to put the list of the questions from last week up that were circulated as well?
If you can do that, that would be useful. Or actually just the URL, because then we can display that particular page.
Rudy here. I just dropped the list of questions in the chat room, so it's not really well formed, but at least they are there now. So I think we got stuck at, we stopped at the four question number four. Who gets access to what? What are the stakeholders? I think that's where we needed to
I'm actually just wondering, did we do question three? Because we definitely did what and why. Oh, sorry, no, we did do three. Three is who. Okay, so that's the access rights, and that also hooks up to the to legal issues as well. Okay. I think, actually, because we are having technical troubles, it may be easier to do new stuff rather than to look at stuff we've already done. In that case, perhaps if we have a look at question number four, and that would really mean just having a brainstorm about stakeholders.
Yes, Chris, Rudy speaking. Yes, that's the question we need to work on. Who are the stakeholders? Who is affected? I think that is a very big question. Where there's a lot of input to give, and that would allow us to the borders of up to where we have to go and address people to be involved in it.
Yes. Wondering if perhaps there is a document that we can use to give us a head start on that. Oh, Ahmed, would you like to say something?
Thanks, Chris and Samar. I just wanted to ask, where on the wiki space are these questions posted? I recall going over them before, but now the page four on the wiki, which is proposed questions and taxonomies, appears blank on my screen.
Yes. You need to have a look at the notes on the first meeting. They're within those notes, but you're absolutely right. In the long term, we really need to have links to all of those pages under section four.
Okay. Thanks, but the meetings page also appears blank.
There is a link within the chat room.
Yes, I just dropped in. It's my link.
Thank you,
Rudy. To that link, you will have the page of the meeting of last week, and it's at the bottom of the page that you will find all the questions we have been working on already.
Yes, thank you. So, coming back to the question about the stakeholders, I don't know whether anybody is aware of a document that would make this question some. It's rather difficult to do it from first principles. Any progress has been made here? Perhaps this is the sort of thing that's actually rather difficult to do on the phone. Rudy, would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Well, I think that we can, in fact, define two categories of stakeholders. Those who are really the stakeholders who should be concerned about our task and will definitely be involved in contact details,
yes.
in who is data. And then you have the ones that have, let's say, secondary interests. And I'm talking about, for instance, law enforcement or those not really being registry or registrar or registrant. I'm rather looking at the outside world of ICANN and looking to how they be a stakeholder in our discussion.
Thank you for that. Yes, I think that's a very good point. So you've got some stakeholders who are directly affected, and then you've got other parties who have got some other kind of interest. Yes, that sounds like a useful way of continuing with that question. Amr, would you like to say something?
Thanks, Chris. This is Amr. And thanks, Rudy, for the link to the page. I got it. I was going to suggest another question, and perhaps we could discuss this further on the email list. But one thing that struck me as a potentially good question to ask is whether anyone thinks there are alternatives to an overarching policy that requires translation and transliteration of contact information. Are there other suggestions that could potentially provide access to this sort of service to folks who need it, whose local language, whose native languages are not based on Latin script, while not recommending a policy to require it in all cases? So I just thought it'd be a sort of open-ended question on what possible alternatives there would be to this sort of policy. And I think this is a point I've brought up on numerous occasions, but the question about how much would a particular feature cost, it's a really difficult question to answer, and it is in our charter, and we should probably ask different stakeholders to on their feedback on this question, but I don't see anyone providing anything really substantial as an answer. Thanks.
Thank you for that. I would really say that whether there is a policy on a particular aspect of translation or transliteration or not. So there may be a policy not to have a policy, or possibly to have a situation where the policy is to do one thing in a particular case and then another in another case. Oddly enough, all of this stuff actually comes under the area of policy. I'd really better explain that. That doesn't sound at all that really wasn't at all clear. What I was actually thinking about was something like, and this is completely an example, but you might have a policy that if an organization put its contact information into a system, that it would provide a translated name in English. It's only an example. For example, Tokyo Daigaku may apply, and then the policy would be that if there was a translation, in this case the University of Tokyo, that translation would be given. Now, of course, the problem is that you may get a university, you may get an organization somewhere which actually does not have an English translation of its name. So you then end up with a policy that maybe goes something like, if there is an English translation, then you provide that, but if there is no English translation, then you provide a transliteration. It might run something like, you end up with a sort of an if in the middle of the policy there, I suppose. What has been coming out of the discussion, because we've been talking about various specific examples of addresses on the mailing list, and what has been coming out of that is that the word transliteration does actually seem to cover several concepts. So there might be transliteration following an ISO standard, or transliteration following a governmental decree. But there might also be a transliteration that was just something that was used in a particular area, or even worse, there may be a transliteration that just a private individual uses for his name or something like that. So we possibly need to bear these aspects in mind. Now, I'll just stop for a moment and go back to the chat, because I think there have been one or two things mentioned in the chat as we've been speaking, talking about cost of transliteration or translation. Okay. Accuracy, which depends on the RAA specs. And then we have the whole issue of validation. And, as you may guess from what I've just been saying and from the examples we've been looking at, it could be very difficult to validate, actually both, translations and transliterations. Translations, because frequently one word can be translated in many ways. Transliteration, because actually there is an issue with this, with the concept of transliteration, in my opinion. It can mean several things. If you presume that an ISO standard is being followed, then you might be able to validate against the standard. But what happens, if either no standard is being used or people are really transliterating on the fly, then validation really becomes horribly difficult. Okay. And then Samad is saying something about original language data validation. Okay, yes. And we've got the question page uploaded as well. Thank you for that. Okay, Amr, would you like to say something?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's Amr again. I think you made a lot of great points, and there have been discussions going on about quite a bit of these things, which is why I just think it might be worthwhile to add a question like the one I suggested on whether there are any suggested alternatives to a policy, to a recommendation of a policy requiring. Eventually, someone's going to have to do the actual translation and or transliteration, and someone's going to have to pay for them, whether it's registrars, registries, or perhaps the new form being suggested by the expert working group on registration data. So if there is some sort of someone with an idea of an alternative to a recommendation for a policy one way or the other, or about not having a policy, but I just think it's a worthwhile question to be added when sending out questions to the different SOs and ACs. Thanks.
My own feeling is that actually, whether there, even not having a policy is still having a policy. So I think, I have to admit I'm not very keen on it, because for me not having a policy actually comes it is actually a sort of policy. Rudy, would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, I'm just wondering, could we eventually address the GAC and ask GAC if they could bring up some ideas or samples that maybe governments are using in the same context, if they have policy with regards translation and transliteration, that we could try to base ourselves on and have a look into, maybe a way of getting something that is, let's say, globally accepted or recognized.
That is, thank you very much, Rudy. I think that's really worth trying. Perhaps that could be another action. Lars, would you like to say something?
Just very quickly on the issue of the GAC. The letters will obviously go out to the GAC as well. They go to all the ACs and the SOs. The requests for input. As a matter of experience, the GAC very rarely replies. They find it very difficult to come up with a common statement on this where everybody can agree. So it might be also useful come the Singapore meeting. We found it in other groups. If the group were to do, if you want corridor outreach, because this is obviously not an issue of policy, this is an issue of experience, right, where you might want to learn from something that a specific country has done, to also reach out to the NSOs and to reach out to individual GAC members and ask them whether they could provide you with some ideas and input. But I fear that the GAC as a whole probably unlikely to respond.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Lars. I would be grateful for any specific recommendations. I can understand that, you know, to get a large body to make a collective recommendation is unreasonable. But if there were ways into individual, you know, ways of talking to individuals about this, you know, it could be a good approach. Thank you. Okay, coming back to the Amar is suggesting in the chat that we write a customized letter asking for individual responses. Yes. That sounds very good. Or, yes, then again, actually, if that, yes, this is a very good point. So if that were added, if the idea of doing customized letters to individual GAC members, if that was in the general thing, then we've killed the two birds with one stone. Yes, that sounds like a very good way of getting around that. Rudy, would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, indeed, I think Singapore is not that far away, and we should try to have a slot with the GAC, a meeting with the GAC, half an hour maybe, in order to highlight the importance of the work we have to do and catch in the corridors those who are really interested, who have responded during the meeting we have with the GAC and have shown interest, try to get them from them input after the Singapore meeting.
Thank you very much for that suggestion. I think if that's possible, that would be a really good way forward. And also, thank you, Wanawit, for agreeing to help in the liaison with individual GAC members. Okay. Just wait for this. And Rudy is saying, what about other stakeholders? Yeah, I think we really need to make a list of other stakeholders for various approaches during Singapore.
Yes, Chris, Rudy speaking. I think that Singapore is the ideal moment to catch all those who are important and interested and show interest in dealing with us ways to solve the issue and in order to allow us between Singapore and London to build some first ideas so that in London we could rediscuss what we have been working on and in order to have a good follow-up.
Okay, thank you for that, Rudy. And last is Pitti Nan is again volunteering help with TIGAT members, I think. And last is saying that the GNSO could also reach out to NSO and GAC staff. So I think all of these approaches are good, and this feels like another part of the wiki to me. So at least we need to keep track of who we've spoken to about this sort of thing. Okay, I'm just waiting for a couple of things in the chat room. Continuing. Got about 10 minutes left. Okay.
Yes, Chris, maybe in between we see in the chat the message popping up. I think we need to have a look into the world outside ICANN also. How are we going to address those stakeholders that are not actually permanently dealing with ICANN but are concerned or would be concerned about what we propose?
Yes, well, absolutely. I mean, this is actually part of quite a general collection of issues because, sometimes there are stakeholders and you just know that they would be interested in this stuff, but they actually aren't represented. And I have experience in the Variant Issues Project, and obviously, ideally, that project would have covered all the scripts of the world, but certain scripts were not represented during that. So, I think that's certainly one we need to be thinking about. And there are some interesting things in the chat at the moment. The ongoing attempts between the GNSO Council and the GAC to increase early participation in the GNSO's policy development processes. And the Policy and Implementation Working Group has tried to do something similar. So, that sounds useful. Thank you, Petter, for your suggestion of reaching out to it's the FICP, which is the International IP Attorney Organization. Working group and FICP. Okay. Ah, yes. Now, Rudy is saying in the chat that there is this general GNSO meeting. There's a call to a telephone conference next week, so that could also be a possibility. Yes. Another action. Yes. And the... And then Wanawit is suggesting the Universal Postal Unit, Union, and the United Nations Group of Experts on Geographical Names. Thank you very much. This is a really good brainstorm. something about the working group liaison to the council. Okay. Emma's just typing about that. Okay, well, there are quite a few avenues that need to be followed up after the meeting. I think we're starting to time out, so probably if we just return to the agenda rather than going on with more questions. So we'll just talk about action items and next steps, and I'll mention the ones which I've noted down, but I think there may be a few I've missed. So we're very much looking at identifying opportunities for outreach at various meetings in Singapore and with individuals, perhaps members of the GAC and other organisations. So that's one of the action items. Another one is that in the wiki we need direct links to the questions under number 4 and the meetings under a number I don't have at hand, but there is a dedicated menu point in the wiki for meetings, just for ease of use. And we are looking for policies on translation and transliteration. Generally, and then there is the GNSO call next week, which either Rudy or I will do a piece on this during that call. Now I realise I may have missed some important actions there, but just as a quick summary. Okay, and that really brings us to point 7 on the agenda, which is any other business. Okay. Well, hearing none, we can actually use the remaining few minutes of the meeting. Probably not worth looking at questions at this point. Rudy, would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Just before we close and we forget, as I don't see Eric being on this call today, Eric has been bringing in a lot of information already in the past week. Thank you for that, Eric. Great to have things going on outside our calls, and I would invite all other participants also, if they think of something, just drop it in the mailing list so that we can take it up for further discussion in our next calls.
Thank you very much for that. Also, obviously, very grateful for people who have given actually specific examples of addresses over the last week, because it is actually surprising how many issues, well, not exactly answered, but when you actually see the addresses, you can see the issues very, very clearly. So I think I really want to have a good collection of addresses and the kinds of issues that they raise. The other thing is that I have largely skipped over the issue of names. So, depending on the country, there are all sorts of strange things that happen with names. So, it may be that you've got something before the name, Mr. Christopher Dillon, you see the Mr. You may have something coming after the name. The order of the name may be different. Some countries go Christopher Dillon, others go Dillon Christopher. And then you may have situations where some languages only use one word for the name. There are quite a few issues in this sort of area, so it may become necessary to collect issues that are actually coming out of names as well as out of addresses, it strikes me. Although a lot of work has been done in this area by other organizations, but I realized, you know, as soon as we started talking about addresses and organizational names, that actually we may be missing some things on personal names. So it's another thing that we can be doing on the list. And I can see Amr just mentioning things about Arabic names and the fact that there is a link between people's names and geographic names. You know, for example, a lot of Arabic names apparently are street names. A lot of Japanese surnames are actually originally place names. So there are some, there are all sorts of interesting connections with names. I think Peter is typing something, I guess, about Chinese names. I think we do need to, I have a feeling we will need to collect examples in this area. With Spanish names, you got very, in the old days, I don't know whether it's still true, but you used to have male names behaved in one way and female names behaved in another. So you would have Señor Roca, but then you would say La Señora de Roca, and there would be actually an additional bit in there, but that may have changed. Peter's saying something about names of streets named after people. Yeah, I think that's probably quite a common phenomenon. And Rudy is mentioning current practice. So how are registrars dealing with all of these issues at the moment? Incredibly important. There's no point in us reinventing the wheel. You know, if these issues are being dealt with adequately, we just copy. Okay. Well, we are just about to time out, so probably it's a good time to round off the meeting, but it looks as if we could have quite a busy week ahead of us answering some of these things that have come up today. I would very much like to thank all of you for today's call. Waiting for things to come up in the chat room. That yes, there's no problem about exactly when the action items are typed up. That's all fine as long as it's done before the next week. As I said, I probably can't. I'm almost certainly can't attend next week because I have a direct clash. But obviously, I will listen to both recordings, both this week and next week, and continue to be active. And yes, thank you all very much indeed, and looking forward to hearing you next week and to speaking with you the week after, but probably lots of contact on the mailing list well before then. Thank you very much indeed.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.